peace and love, peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, welcome to Good Things Radio with your hosts, Brooke Taylor and Jennifer Willits.
Hello, 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 dear friend, and welcome to episode 19 of Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. Happy to be with you again, broadcasting from our humble little home in Ohio.
And I'm Jennifer Willits, just a couple hours away from the western slopes of Colorado. And coming up on episode 19 of Good Things Radio, war movies, the ongoing pursuit of good health, and the challenges of recording during the summer, and so much more.
And I think that Rocky Mountain breeze is bringing the aroma of your kitchen over here because it smells good. What's cooking in the Willits house?
Well, I don't know what you're smelling because it isn't from me. I literally abandoned my children tonight. I have cooked so much over the last, you know, like 10 days. I just needed to have a break. And I said, all right, kids, it's whatever night. And I'm not feeling guilty about that because many of them know how to cook for themselves and they can certainly help out Lily, who's 6 and a half, who is already trying to take a little more active interest in cooking some basic things for herself. But also my husband is home, so he can help fill in the missing gaps should there be any for feeding the kids tonight. But here's what I'm really hoping is going to happen. Since I know the kids are eating kind of whatever stuff, whether that be sandwiches or some kind of a pasta thing or even hot dogs or whatever, Greg will conveniently not eat anything and I'm not going to eat anything. So after we record this show, we are in a prime position to sneak out of the house and go grab a pizza, which is what I'm really hoping will happen.
Spoken like two parental veterans. You know the game. You know how to play it.
Exactly. We know how to sneak out and get what we really want out of the deal. But what do you have cooking at your house tonight? Surely you've got something in the works.
Well, it's been same here a lot over the last week. We had family visiting. So my brother was here and his family and their blended family. And there was like 20 people. And it was, you know, like mama's kitchen in here. So I am keeping it simple, but still relatively healthy. We're having Chinese tonight. So that's fried rice and shrimp, both purchased at Sam's. So kind of in bulk and healthy, simple. I mean, I know it's fried, but still there's some peas in there and some egg and some shrimp. So it was yummy.
It might be saturated in butter, but who cares, you know?
Yeah, it was the shrimp, and seafood is healthy.
That's protein. Tonight.
And I have to thank you. You know, I've been listening to the Catholics Next Door when I run, and thankfully I've been able to get some long runs in. And one of the tips I learned from your show was a caller who left a message talking about the prep ahead meals and that she would boil eggs and, you know, cut the tomatoes and make the bacon. And they were having a Cobb salad that week and it sounded so good. So I was able to do that this weekend, except there wasn't any leftover bacon. So I do have to make that, but I boiled the eggs. So that'll be another meal for later this week. But thumbs up. That was a great tip.
Wow. I know. I remember that feedback when it came through and I thought to myself, darn it, that was smart. And why didn't I ever think of that? It was so like, duh, no brainer, easy. And yet sometimes you just need to sort of brainstorm with many, many minds because we all suffer the same problems. We all kind of, you know, beat our head up against the wall because we just don't know what else to do. And it was amazing, the great feedback we got on that topic of how do you prepare food for your large family? Because it's an expensive undertaking. And sometimes you just run out of ideas and you lose creativity.
Right.
So, well, thank you for listening to our show, The Catholics Next Door. And I'm really glad you got that run in and that you're taking steps to take care of yourself.
Thank you. I know. Yeah, we're going to get to that a little bit later in the show, too, because both of us have had some health issues. And I know that doesn't sound exciting and like a good tease, but I think there's a lesson in there. So I know we're going to talk about that. But the big topic that I've been dying to talk about, because we did take a few days, a couple weeks break, was the topic of war movies, as you mentioned in the top of the show, and violence and boys. And how do you handle and screen what they watch. Is this okay if we talk about it now?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm totally ready. Let's jump in.
Well, you know, we were texting a couple weeks ago about this topic because over the summer, and I think it was really sparked by the reading, that's kind of the angle that my older boys have gone, because they all are involved in summer reading. It's just the length and the content of the books have changed over the years. And so my oldest son for high school is required two books. One is To Kill a Mockingbird. He's got to read over the summer. He read that during middle school, so he's good. He's reading it again. But then an elective, so he could choose whatever book he wants. So he went, and he didn't go to the library. He went to my husband's stash of books. I mean, I think probably we all have so many books in our house because they're so easy to get our hands on now and affordable. Yeah. And so my husband likes history, and he likes law and military history and, you know, the founding fathers and things like that. So the book that my son chose was No Easy Day. And this was about the mission that killed Osama bin Laden. So my husband approved it, but said, you have to read it with him. Take turns, do a read aloud. And because there are some things that we might want to skip over. So that was really the base, I think, of what inspired my son to want to watch American Sniper. And I know, listening, most of you probably know that movie. It's about Chris Kyle, the deadliest sniper in American history, his story, and, you know, the unexpected twists and turns and the reality of war. So, you know, it's a great movie, but it's a tough call for parents of boys, of sons, of teenagers, where you're trying to figure out, okay, this is violent, there's a lot of language in it, there's a lot of things in general about war that are not something that you want to put images into young kids' heads. But my son also is a teenager, and he's really interested in the technology of warfare, in this book with the Navy SEALs and how they operate and their strategy and things like that. So, and we come from a military family. My husband's a veteran, so we kind of lean on being interested in that anyway. But what I found, what was interesting, was that I had a hard time even asking friends, other parents, moms, what would you do? Because I had one mom, her kids are only interested in sports. And she said, I don't even know if my son is aware of this movie. He hasn't asked about it. We're not going to watch it. It's not something that's on our radar. I have another friend, they have all girls, so that's not something that they'd be thinking about. And I asked you, and it was like, well, you know, your wisdom of it really is a family personal decision based on your children, their heart, what they can handle. So it was really interesting, because a lot of times you just want to know, well, what's my mom that I admire friend? What is she doing? How did she handle this? You know, and even that wasn't a cut and dry answer, because I think for all of us, and if as Christians you're raising your kids and you want to have, you know, virtuous children, when it comes to the topic of entertainment, it's so nuanced, because for our own self, you know, we have to be held accountable. Does this movie break all the Ten Commandments in 1 2-hour segment? And if it does, am I justified in watching it? Or is it a sin for me to be watching this? Am I indulging in, you know, whatever it is? So that's what we had to figure out, is what is our breakdown of war-based movies. And our kids like Westerns, and they do like old war movies. But I think from like Platoon up through, you know, Full Metal Jacket, that's when they really changed. And there's a lot more language and a lot more gore than the older classics. So from that time forward, you know, our kids haven't seen any of those, the Saving Private Ryans or anything like that. So this would really be their first introduction to a modern war movie. So we decided to go ahead, and our oldest, our 13-year-old and 11-year-old, we watched it with them. And it's not a movie that, you know, you can just have your kids go and sit and watch, you know, it with popcorn and say, I'll see you in the morning. You know, it was one that we knew we had to talk about, and it was going to be a deliberate discussion afterwards. So that's what we did. And it was, in the end, a blessing. We talked about PTSD. We talked about the decisions a sniper would need to make, the implications that war has on the human body, and Muslim extremists. Because that day, coincidentally, I had seen a propaganda video that had been released by ISIS. And it was a young boy who was the age of my 9-year-old son, probably, and he was beheading a grown man. Now, I didn't watch the video, but that was what it was about. Wow. And so, you know, I'm thinking, my kids are here. They're watching YouTube videos and Nickelodeon and, you know, playing basketball while their peers around the world are being trained every day to carry out these horrific attacks. And I'm not afraid and I'm not paranoid, and I didn't disclose that information to my kids, but movies like that make me step back and look at how I'm raising my children. Because I think in our culture, they get it backwards. They push sexuality and these, you know, decadent themes on our sons, and they grow them up way too fast. But when it comes to knowing how to shoot a gun and work hard and be proficient to help the family, it's like we want to keep our boys, little boys, forever. And they don't have a responsibility about that, about how to step up and be a man of the house. And right. So anyway, it, you know, to make a long story short, was a great discussion all the way around, and about the just war theory, which if you're Catholic, you know the theology of the implications. That's a very difficult thing to ever say, that war is justified or violence is acceptable in the eyes of God. But it allowed me to go back and read that again. And then, you know, also look at the saints, the warrior saints, Saint Joan of Arc and all of the amazing chaplains like Emile Capon, and that there's a place, if God has put that within you to be a protector, that if you can do it in the context of saving, healing, or serving others, that it is honorable to serve your country. But it's, you know, it also comes with a price. So it was a very deep couple days.
So how did you find watching the movie from the big screen to watching it on the TV in your living room? You know, sometimes movies change a little in tone when you go from the big screen and the intense drama and cinematic effect down to the smallness of a home television set. Did you notice or feel differently about the movie just as you're seeing it for the second time?
That's such a good point. Until you said it, though, I didn't realize the scale, because at the theater, it was with my husband and we were with another couple. He's a veteran as well. And there was such a reaction from the audience where they applauded at the end for the service of Chris Kyle and his legacy. And everybody felt this palpable reaction. And at home, I think I was more guarded as far as I need to skip. There's a part in the movie where there's, and you know what I'm talking about, the guy that has the drill. And
yes.
I won't go into the details, but we told the kids ahead of time, there are going to be some parts we're going to skip, and don't complain. And they were fine with that because they knew they could watch the movie. That was a compromise. We skipped over that. But then there were some other parts that I forgot about. It's like, oh, I had the skip button right there. And not that, you know, not that I'm afraid or whatever, but it's just, I'm trying to be proactive. And so I'm glad that I saw it the first time and could just really take it all in. And then the second time I was watching it as kind of a teacher parent of, okay, how can I use this scene to illustrate a point? And it was really interesting. And I asked my 11-year-old after the film, I said, you know, does this make you be afraid of war, or, you know, to never want to join the military? Does it make you want to join? He goes, I wish I could join right now, you know, but
really, wow.
Yeah. But then we talked about, well, you know, this PTSD, even if you come back and your body is whole, your mind, because God didn't create us to take lives, you know, your mind will be wounded. And how can we now aid and assist those who have served and defended, you know, while you're playing basketball, this is what's happening around the world. And somebody else's son is over there and they're defending, you know, you and your ability to have freedom in a safe neighborhood. So all of these things were a blessing because it helps them widen their scope of their world, that it's not just about their driveway and their neighborhood and their school, but, you know, the soldiers, the troops, the sacrifice, the dangers of our world. And then when they're too young, you don't want to scare them. So it's always that fine line of just praying for wisdom, but also to share truth.
Exactly. You know, and interestingly enough, since we had texted each other specifically about American Sniper, you know, because it recently became available for rent through most online streaming services. So now it was just very easy to rewatch the movie and also introduce it to a much younger audience. And for in our household, you know, we have a 15 and a 17-year-old who I knew had interest in seeing the film, but I wanted to watch it with them because of its very serious nature. And I wanted to be there to kind of answer some questions if they had any, and also just to be that parent using it as a teaching moment as well. And it was, I think, a very different experience in our house when we watch it as opposed to what happened in your house, because one, our kids were a little older, and so they were more easily accepting of the story as the way it was told, and seeing this level of violence and realism of real military action. I really wanted our kids to get a glimpse of that, because previous to this, they had only ever seen like video games depicting war, and or maybe hearing about stories secondhand or through headline news, but never really watching a reenactment on any level. And up to this point, you know, our kids, you know, they do play some more mature video games where wars are being simulated in video fashion. And I thought, you know, it's high time that they see the root of where all this comes from. Like, all the video games that they've been playing now probably would not exist had there not been so many examples of war in our history that is the genesis and the basis for which all these video games are made today. And so it was kind of like an unveiling back or peeling back the veil of this is where it all comes from, and it's high time that you see it now and see the brutality of war, the seriousness of war, and how war affects people, the families of the soldiers. And I thought this movie did a good job of illustrating those points. Now, also, it was an opportunity for me to point out some of the liberties that Clint Eastwood as director took with the story. Like, some of the characters were fictionalized, and to add dramatic effect to give the story more of a narrative. So I didn't want our kids thinking that, you know, the butcher, which is the name of one of the characters, was a real figure. It was simply that, I believe, was added in, you know, to the story. So just to help them kind of mix out, you know, sift out truth from extra creativity on the part of Hollywood.
Well, in the beginning, there's a beginning scene too where a woman is walking with her son, and he has to make a decision. There's, you know, a weapon, and the troops are in danger, and that first sniper kill did not go down exactly how it was depicted in the movie either. But right, I mean, those are points that are great to make in terms of how Hollywood can take liberties, but still the spirit of the story was there.
Exactly. And, you know, one thing that really surprised me that I was not able to remember when I saw the film in the theater was just the pervasiveness of the F word just all over the place. And somehow when it's being projected in your living room, it just seems more intense. I was really aware of the language more than ever before when it was suddenly in my living room. And we like to watch movies with subtitles because we just hate missing out on dialogue that we couldn't understand for whatever reason. So in addition to hearing the F word, we're reading the F word. So we're like double impact.
There's some blasphemous, you know, but also the truth is, not to justify it, but that really is military culture. I mean, it just is.
Oh, and so, I believe it.
I mean, probably I know. For you and I, it's probably harder for you and I because these are our boys, baby boys' ears. And it's like, yeah. Whoa. But I, you know, it does. It's like amplified when it's in the setting of your home and you've got the Bose speakers on.
Afterwards, you know, both boys really seemed to appreciate the story, and they had no knowledge of the outcome of Chris Kyle's fate. They went into this movie just blindly, not knowing anything really about who Chris Kyle was. So it was interesting to sort of watch their reaction to that. And also, typical Walter, our 15-year-old, who's our YouTube creator, as soon as that one scene came on that what that got the most flack from media relating to Bradley Cooper holding a baby that wasn't real. And we even talked about it earlier in the episodes of Good Things Radio, how it was quite obviously a fake baby, and why didn't the director go through the trouble of actually hiring a real baby? I mean, like, how hard could it be? And so I wasn't going to say anything, and I was just hoping and praying that my children would not be distracted by that. But as soon as that baby was on the screen, Walt goes, fake baby. he didn't miss a beat. I'm like, okay, yes, it's fake. So just accept it and move on. You know, do not let it detract from the scene, please. You know, yes, it's fake. We know it.
I mean, he's like your budding Spielberg, yeah, so you're not going to get one over on him.
No. But, you know, after the movie was over, actually the very next day, after he had more time to sort of process what he saw, I asked Walter, who I knew at one point had expressed interest in perhaps joining the Army after high school because he understood that some military armed forces will help pay for college if you serve for X number of years. So he thought, well, that might be an option for me. And I'm like, well, now that you saw American Sniper, do you still have that same opinion? And he goes, oh, no. If I join, I'll die. I'll totally die. Because he knows he's just not really.
But see, I thought my kids would say the same thing, because a lot of times you see the glamorized side of war. And this really did show the awful, you know, the horrible injuries, the worst kind of pain that can occur, from shrapnel to losing limbs. And I mean, it is horrible. And so I was thinking the same thing. So he saw that and it was like, no, thanks.
Right. It created an aversion in him. But I thought it was interesting that your 11-year-old had the opposite opinion. And I have a feeling it has something to do with the fact that he looks up to his dad, who has served. And so I think there's a little bit of that. I want to follow in dad's footsteps, you know, that might have factored into your son's decision. Do you think?
Well, it's possible. And that particular child is very interesting. You know, he's very highly motivated. You know, one day he said he wants to be a Navy SEAL. Another day he wants to be a bone doctor. You know, because I always say, if you can serve or heal, those two fields of life and vocation, really, you know, I think honor God. I mean, in all, teach, heal, serve, anything that you can do that gives back and makes the world a better place. But, you know, so I think he definitely has that bent where he's kind of a warrior spirit. But at the same time, he's this, you know, he was born on Valentine's Day. And so he's kind of this gentle, sweet, cuddly, you know. So I think that side, and that to me is the challenge of a mom raising boys, is that you do want this chivalrous knight in shining armor who's gentle, who respects the dignity of women, but also defends the weak. And, you know, that's what I hope. You know, my husband does. What I like about him is, you know, that he is, I feel like a lot of in our culture, the manliness is being taken out. The masculinity is being deflated a little bit. And so that's what I did like about American Sniper, is it really, to me, showed how nice it is to have strong, manly men, and not guys that are violent for the sake of just being that way, but have a purpose and that still want to serve. And you saw Chris Kyle had faith. You know, he had a heart of service. He wanted to do good. But it's so complex. Right. You know, it definitely is gives you a lot to think about.
Now, the next question I have for you is, since you allowed the viewing of American Sniper, a rated R film, to your 11 and 13-year-old, will this open the floodgates to other well-viewed and respected war-based movies like Saving Private Ryan or Platoon or perhaps even Band of Brothers, which was a very popular HBO miniseries?
Yes.
Are you going to maybe roll those out slowly over time to your children?
Probably. And when they ask for it. And the interesting thing is, and I don't know about you, but I really like war movies. And I don't know if it's because I used to watch them with my dad, and then, you know, with my husband being a veteran. And so he's, you know, we both like history, but I don't like I don't really like Rambo or like Die Hard. Right. But I love Band of Brothers, you know, that, or Forrest Gump, you know, that has a war, you know, element also. But right. What about you? Is it just like another in the genre that you enjoy, or do you really not like them?
Well, I guess that's probably a fair assessment. I look at war movies as another genre that I also enjoy. I don't think I have a love for it that's greater than other genres,
okay.
But I do appreciate a really well-done war movie, and I can tolerate the violence. I'm not squeamish at all in that respect. I remember we bought either the Blu-ray or the DVD set for Band of Brothers, and we found it recently, and that's something that I remember just loving it when we watched it on HBO. And I would love to rewatch it now with our older sons, because I just love the historical accuracy that just is an honest portrayal of what life is like in those very dire situations, and the leadership that is displayed under great pressure. And I think it's good that we expose that to our young boys who otherwise would not tap into that. You know, they're in this video game culture and YouTube videos and hanging with their friends and, you know, doing skateboarding or going to fast food places with your buddies. And they're just kind of living in a bit of a bubble. And at some point we have to just kind of gradually, you know, expose them to the greater realities. I really loved how you said it widened the scope of the child's experience of the world. But it is at the discretion of the parent, and you have to know your child and what they can handle. Like, we have our 13-year-old Ben, very, very sensitive to issues of violence. So I already know he is not the child I would expose these films to unless he genuinely is asking for it. But I'm not going to push it on him, but that, because I know that about him. So there are other movies I personally would like to rewatch. I haven't seen Platoon in, I mean, probably 15 years, if not more.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Well, like, I mean, it came out so long ago.
Yeah.
And I remember really being impacted by the film, but that's the only memory I have, was that I was impacted by it. I think I would just love to see it today at my age, you know, to see how I would feel about it now. But also, you know, share the film with our oldest boys to gauge their interest of it as well. But I don't want to hit them too hard with too many war movies,
because I don't want to
oversaturate their brains with all that war image.
What you were saying about, you know, the different personalities of your kids and having a sensitive son. And I was, you know, thinking about that in terms of the saints, where you had Saint Ignatius of Loyola, who founded the Jesuits, and he was a soldier, and then he became such a pacifist. And, you know, some of the warrior saints that have really had that kind of spirit, and then others that are just completely opposed. And I think The Mission, that film, really depicts the opposite ends and how, you know, God, I think, puts that within us. We do need defenders. And then we need those that are very gifted. And what we're all called to do is say we need to find other ways of peace and prayer and diplomacy. And that is the last human possible resort that you ever want to go to. But it also made me a little bit more open to, you know, my husband, he's military. My father-in-law is retired sheriff's lieutenant. And so they're always very pro-gun, to be honest. And I respect that because they have such an education, a respect, and a knowledge of the history of weapons. And I mean, a knife can be a weapon. Anything can. But if you respect what something does and the purpose of it, there's a place for it. And I've always been with my kids like, oh boy, I don't know. You know, my family, they all come from hunters, my husband's family. But what I appreciated about that is I do want to raise boys that when they are fathers someday, or when they're in a situation where they have to defend their family, we don't know if it's an intruder that comes in or if it's in a war situation, that they know how to defend their family. And I would, you know, I'm glad that my husband knows how to do that. And so it was an interesting thing for me because it gave me an understanding and appreciation. And, you know, even my oldest has never gone hunting because I've always been like, well, I don't know. But my husband has such a respect of this is, you can't buy organic meat better than if you go hunting, and to be able to provide for your family and respect the animal and be grateful for it being able to provide. You know, it's not necessarily an act of violence, but it's God in Genesis lays out the circle of, you know, of life, and he made man over beast and all these things. So the theology of that you can take in another direction as well. So it's definitely, for my own self, brought up a lot of questions and been a good dialogue with my husband too.
Well, speaking of defending, defending our country, defending our families, there are times when we have to defend things much closer to home, and that would be our health. Because what better advocate do we have than ourselves to really take notice of our health, which is a temple entrusted to us by God himself. And it's very easy to get swept up in the busyness of being mom, being busy, being caretaker, being provider, that sometimes you feel like you just can't spare the time to take care of yourself. And that it's easy to slip into like a martyrdom syndrome where it's a no, don't worry about me. I'll take care of you. No, I'll be fine. You know, and that's really, really hard to fight off those temptations. I've done it at varying degrees throughout my life. And recently I've been suffering from a few issues where I knew I needed to finally get some medical attention for myself. And it wasn't easy. And I felt like a little silly to make a bunch of appointments for me because I feel like I'm just impositioning my husband or the kids with extra work, you know, picking up the slack of whatever I can't do for whatever time period if I'm in a doctor's appointment for 3 hours. And I felt guilty about doing that. But at the same time, if I don't take care of myself, you know, I'm not going to be an effective mother if I'm sickly all the time. And I have, you know, our youngest child is 6 years old and she's very high energy and I want to be able to play with her and have some energy to interact with her in a meaningful way. So I decided to just try to knock out all the biggies like all in 1 week. So last week was my medical week, you know, starting with the dentist, going to having my first ever appointment with a primary care physician. We moved to Colorado over 2 years ago, and all that time I've never had a need to meet up with a primary care physician. So I just absolutely didn't even have one. And I didn't know how to find one. That's part of the challenges of when you move to a new place or a new city and you don't think about, oh no, I have to select all new doctors suddenly and reestablish or create all new relationships in the medical field. And so that has taken me a long time to try to find new physicians for certain, you know, body parts and different systems of our body. You know, as a woman, you need a doctor for this and a doctor for that. And I never had a primary care physician. So I was able to get a few doctor's appointments on the books, and I'm really glad I went and I took the time to just have some evaluations done to rule out some major possibilities. I've suffered with a lot of abdominal issues for years, and it was just easier to believe that that's just how I am. That's how my body was made. So there's probably nothing to fix and I'll just live with it. I mean, that's right. Just the easiest thing I could think of.
Yeah.
But then it occurred to me that, well, what if it isn't necessary that I live with it? What if it's something that could be easily corrected? Why deny myself an opportunity at better health? So I decided to just start ruling out some things. And so I'm happy to report that the big tests that I've had done, like an abdominal CT, had a colonoscopy, so far everything looks great as far as initial, you know, lab work and results. So now, because that is sort of out of the way, I'm free to pursue the next level of treatment, which is to try to pin down what I might be allergic to or have maybe a food sensitivity to that could be affecting my digestive system, like as it has been for so long.
Well,
so
I'm gonna
that's
stop
kind
you
of
there.
Where
you just,
I am now.
You just rattled off colonoscopy in your list of things to do, but that was a pretty extensive preparation time. And then to actually go in and do it, I mean, God bless you for realizing the importance of your health and saying, I have to go. Because all last week, it was medical week for Jennifer. It was like, so, I mean, that's a pretty big deal. And so it panned out and all was good.
I had a better attitude about going into the preparation for that kind of test.
Okay.
And I drew upon wisdom of previous experience because there are ways to prepare for that test that make it easier for the body to go through the test. And so I decided to take that approach. And for a week leading up to that procedure, I increased my water intake significantly.
Okay.
And I decreased the amount of food I was eating. I abstained from red meat altogether. Basically, I tried to make my digestive system have an easier time at working leading up to the test so that when it comes to more intense preparation, my body was better able to comply with it, what I was asking it to do, much easier and with minimal discomfort to me. And so I did that. Now, the hardest part was just drinking the sheer volume of water that I did. Normally, I try to drink 64 ounces. I mean, that's what's kind of the daily recommendation for everybody. But I knew I had to push myself to go well beyond that 64. And I'm talking doubling that at the bare minimum and then going beyond the doubling just a little bit more as I was within 12 hours of the actual exam. And I was afraid I was going to drown within myself.
You're floating away like a balloon.
Yeah, my stomach was so distended with fluid just from all the water I was drinking, but I knew it was temporary and that it would make a positive, you know, effect on the outcome of the procedure just the next day. And sure enough, that was the case because I recovered just very quickly after the procedure. My body was very slim. I felt like I think I did lose between 6 and 7 pounds in a 48-hour period of time just from flushing all that fluid through my body and sort of forcing a cleanse to occur. But I was able to have a very successful procedure at the hospital. And notice how I am cleverly avoiding the word because I hate saying it out loud, what it was. But, you know, you heard it once early in the show. You don't need to hear it again. Okay. So anyway, all things, I think, are clear now. But it's clear that we need to keep testing. And even the doctor, the surgeon, as I was coming out of recovery, he's going over the results of the procedure while I'm still in a slight amnesia sort of a state because the drugs do have that effect on you. You just can't remember what the doctors tell you.
Okay.
And normally they're supposed to wait and talk to you when your spouse
right.
is there
yeah.
or your family member's there so they can talk to them when their brain is like better prepared to hear information. But he didn't do that. He just laid it all on me. And then I'm thinking, I hope I can remember everything he said. And then I'm like half like in a daze in the recovery room of the hospital by myself. Greg was not yet brought back to me. And I felt like I just woke up so quickly out of the anesthesia, but I was so afraid I was going to forget everything the doctor told me. And so I'm just lying there in my bed, just staring at the ceiling. And then as soon as I saw a nurse walk by, I sort of got her attention. I said, excuse me, can I please have a pen and a piece of paper? I don't want to forget what the doctor just told me.
Smart.
And I have been repeating it in my head ever since he walked away from me 20 minutes ago. And I really need to get this out of my head before it's gone. He says, oh yeah, sure. No problem. So I was able to write down basically what he said. And also I wrote down questions because I knew I was going to forget. That was a smart move.
Yeah, all the time. Anytime. That's great.
If you're alone and don't have the benefit of someone being with you to help you through that phase, just ask for a pen and paper and just write stuff down. The nurses are going to be awesome and helpful to you. That was the kind of week I had last week that prevented us from being able to record, you know, more timely with this Good Things Radio. But I wasn't the only one who was being pulled in many directions, either with health and doctor's appointments and then still trying to take care of the kids. You've had a ton of things going on at your house that has also created for a busy life, but is your health good? I mean, you mentioned earlier that you were doing some running, so I'm guessing you've had some pockets of time to run and take care of yourself that way.
Well, I have, but there's been this hormonal issue lingering since probably last November, and I know we're running late on time, so I'll keep it short, but a long story short is that I've had some significant cycle and hormonal issues, and I'm 36. So, you know, I didn't know what it was. Is it like early menopause? Is there something seriously going on? I mean, as a woman, you kind of know, especially if you do natural family planning, that your body lays out a story every month and you kind of can see the writing on the wall there if there's something not right. And clearly in my case, something was seriously wrong. I mean, there were months that there was one month I passed out and I knew that I was anemic, but there were just some very unpleasant things going on. Like I would wake up covered in sweat and some of cycles were so awful that, I mean, it was like, you know, I'm trying not to be graphic, so I'll just say that it was very unpleasant, you know. And I,
sorry, male listeners,
I've birthed three babies and I've had three miscarriages, so I've had my share of, you know, of experiencing woman things. But this was new, so I went to my regular OBGYN, who I just am lukewarm about. He's not my favorite, but he's close by. My insurance covers it, but I haven't had the best experience there. So right away he said, you just need to go on the pill. And there was no incentive or initiative to find out the source of what was wrong. And I just said, that's not an option for me. You know, we don't take artificial birth control. And so he said, well, you could have, we could look at a couple different other things. So, but there was no, I said, I need a hormonal test or something. So I went to a Napro technology doctor. And if you're not familiar with that is, I highly recommend looking into it. It's a beautiful way to address infertility issues or hormonal issues in a natural way. So the doctor that I saw there, right away did a test, and within 1 month, because I had to go through a month of labs, discovered that I have, you know, reduced fertility, short luteal phase, low progesterone, my iron's low, my testosterone is low, my vitamin D is low, my ovaries are not functioning well, my platelets are low, which is weird. That could be a bone marrow issue. There's no lining in my uterus. So there's just a lot that really is off. And when it comes down to it, I needed to get more progesterone and things. So I'm excited, because when you have an issue that has plagued you for a long time and it's a mystery and there are no answers, it kind of gets depressing. And when you discover an answer and then a solution, it's such an exciting light bulb moment. So she's getting me on track, but already I'm just so optimistic that my body will be adjusted as it should. And, you know, she said, years and years I worked third shift and hardly got any sleep. And she said, I wouldn't be surprised if that did some damage to you. So it's just kind of a note for those that don't sleep much. I used to, you know, go to bed at 10, wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning. And I've heard that before, that can really mess you up. So just FYI, but it sounds like for both of us, it's good news, hopefully.
Wow. I mean, that's really pretty a revolutionary statement you just said about there are some professions, many professions that affect women where they have to work all-nighter shifts that have coincidentally suffered infertility issues or just things have not been right, you know, with that whole system of their body. And I never knew that there would or could be a connection between real disruptive sleep issues relating to their careers, perhaps. I mean, you think about all the hospital staff, all the doctors, nurses, you know, people, you know, even in the trucking industry, firefighter. I mean, there's all police. I mean, there's all these professions where women have infiltrated those fields that requires them to stay up at all hours like that. That really creates a real disruption to their systems. And I never put those two together. That's really fascinating. So if you're hearing this and you know somebody who, or maybe perhaps it's yourself who is in this career or profession that requires those disruptive sleep patterns from you, yeah, and you might be experiencing other issues, you might want to bring that up to your doctor and have them look at that. Maybe there's something that they can do to help offset the symptoms. And wow, because you have worked years in the radio industry where your sleep was incredibly impacted. I can't even imagine.
It's been a challenge because when you do a morning show, there are no other options. If you are a nurse, you know, maybe you can go to your superior and say, I need a different shift. But I would hear stories like that and kind of put it out of my mind because I thought there's nothing I can do about it. I can't change the hours that I work. I had heard there is an increased likelihood of Alzheimer's or dementia when you work third shift overnight hours or first shift and you're really getting very little sleep. And there's a risk of that as well. All sorts of things that your body becomes imbalanced. And when you do it for years or decades, that can be a major problem. And so to see the bad fruit of that going into, because I've had issues for years. And if you've followed our story, you know, we adopted because for 4 years we had infertility. And that was also brought up at that time. It could be the hours you're working. It could be your body's really out of whack. But now that almost a year I've been out of that schedule, I would have thought that my body would readjust. And she said, no, you know, you could have done some serious damage with all those years that your body was so misaligned in that way. So it is interesting. And you're, you know, right. If maybe there is an opportunity where you're working that shift and you're having problems, to say, I need a different shift, if it's possible, because it does have effects that aren't good.
And this summer has proved to be, you know, quite an interesting challenge for both Brooke and myself as we have tried to, you know, bring episodes of Good Things Radio to you, dear listener, as timely as we could. We had initial goals of just trying to bring new episodes weekly. But as the summer progressed and as to the busyness of Brooke's family life and my family life and our respective health issues and kids and summer, you know, we've just done the best we could do, and we're going to continue to do the best that we can do to bring you, you know, more brand new content from Good Things Radio. But in the meantime, there are plenty of other really great shows that you can listen to when you're in between episodes of Good Things Radio. Brooke mentioned earlier that you can also listen to the other podcast that I co-host with my husband, Greg Willits. Again, that's called The Catholics Next Door. Also, another great family-friendly podcast is Catholic in a Small Town, hosted by Mac and Catherine Barron. And of course, you can't forget to go get the SoundCloud app for your phones and look up A Special Connection with Brooke Taylor, because that's how you can hear her radio show and all the recent episodes over there. So you see, you got plenty of good content to keep you busy. And we don't want you to feel that we can't deliver timely stuff, but we're doing the very best we can as we negotiate the summer months. And we hope that you continue to listen to our stuff.
And I also met a new friend. Her name is Kimberly Tizer. She used to be on Christian radio and then became Catholic, living in the South, and really went on a wonderful journey. But she has a new podcast as well. It's called Our Catholic Way, and you can find that. It's brand new too. So I know there are a lot budding and coming up and already established, like the Catholics Next Door, to fill in as well.
Well, there you have it, folks. And if you want to help us increase a little more visibility to our show, it would just be super awesome if you could just spare a few minutes of your time to hop on over to iTunes, search up our show, Good Things Radio Podcast, and leave a positive review like Sarah did. She left a 5-star review last month, and she wrote, "I love listening to these two talk about their daily lives. I feel like I'm out to lunch with two friends. Keep up the great work." Well, thank you, Sarah. That is a great piece of feedback, and we're glad that we can help you feel welcomed and invited into our community. And also, another great 5-star review we received last month from Among Women. She writes, "I love the show. It is like being part of a good friend's conversation about normal daily concerns and activities as wife and mother. It is uplifting, real, and relatable, even if one works outside the home." So thank you again to all those who took the time to leave those 5-star reviews for us, and you can do the same thing.
We love you. Thank you. And it's easy to reach out to us too. Oh, your feedback means so much when we're knee deep in diapers or laundry or timeouts or whatever, or you running your kids to their jobs, Jennifer. To hear from you is such a boost as we're all in this together. So shoot us an email. It's feedback@goodthingsradio.com. That's feedback@goodthingsradio.com. And tell a friend, join the conversation, be a part of this sisterhood here. And also thank you to our wonderful audio tech extraordinaire. I have to remember Mark coming for assistance. He helps with my audio since my equipment is pretty lousy and I can't afford a new microphone right now. So thank you so much, Mark. And he wears a lot of hats. And if you have any audio needs at all, we'll help you. You can look him up at cominghomestudio.com.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 19 of Good Things Radio. God bless.
And remember, conversion as well as perseverance is a grace of God's mercy.